News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a beautiful Saturday. We are going to hopefully make it even better by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. And what's going on in entertainment and pop culture in the Pensacola community is we're getting ready for Pensacon in just a couple weeks. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. Joining me to do so, please welcome from the Pop Culture Knowledge channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Look, before we get into fun stuff, hey, how's it going, everybody? Glad to be here. Before we get into fun stuff, I think the past couple weeks have been massive in the world of WWE. You and I talked about the Netflix deal. We've mentioned in passing that Rock the Dwayne Johnson is taking over as a board member on WWE. There's been these...
Oh, no, I hadn't heard that. We didn't talk about that.
So, just real quick recap... the week before Royal Rumble, which was last week at time of recording this episode, it was announced that The Rock was going to be joining the board over on Endeavor, which, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I guess, first of all, what do you think about him being kind of the face for the WWE?
I think it will help dramatically with the reputation that has been sullied by... The not so wonderful human being that is Vince McMahon, and please say understand when I say human being there, I am using air quotes.
Yeah, using the term loosely. Yeah, you know, you and I have kind of been talking back and forth a little about it, and I don't think it's a shock to anyone that it came out that Vince McMahon is quantifiably a bad person.
Well, I think it's been known for a long time that Vince McMahon is, I think the technical term here is a dirtbag.
Yeah.
But I don't think we realized how dirty that bag of dirt was.
Yeah, reading the actual, report that was provided by the victim's defense team or legal team was just horrifying. And it's such a weird time for WWE because on this one hand, the business is doing better than ever. I think to the part about The Rock, because he's so ingratiated in wrestling culture and mainstream culture as well, he's actually the most followed person worldwide on social media. I think he's a really great face for the company.
Well, and actually does seem to be, according to most reports and according to at least what the public sees, it seems to be a decent human being.
Yeah, yeah, and we can only speculate, but to your point, it's not like there's any big skeletons that have been rattled out of his closet in the past couple of years, yeah. And there's been a lot of time for that to happen.
And I guess I should say that Vince McMahon is an alleged dirtbag. Just to cover my bases.
I guess. Protect us legally and say allegedly he's a dirtbag. But this is just one out of a million things. But anyway,
yeah, allegedly he abused and trafficked one of his female employees. But just allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly for now. That's a kind of grim way to start off the week. There was also these. The social media hearings that were taking place over the last week where Zuckerberg and the lady Linda Yaccarino from X, formerly known as Twitter, went and took the stand at a hearing where basically...
Now hold on a minute. Rewind. So Zuckerberg, one of the richest and most powerful men in the world, goes and shows up, right?
Right.
Elon sends his flunky?
Well, the acting CEO of X.
Yeah, but who's in charge? But who's in charge?
Yeah, that's accurate. And, it was a bit of a public flogging. Like, they really wanted to hold these people accountable on a personal level and basically tell them there was blood on their hands. However, it is worth mentioning that it was a lack of... regulation that allowed these corporations to run wild in the first place. So I think there's a good bit of culpability to go all the way around. But I'd mentioned this to you before we started airing and you had a take on it. I was kind of curious to let you get the spotlight on that.
Well, I have two takes. The first one, and not for nothing, it doesn't involve just this, but Elon Musk is a weenie.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to get on there, if you're going to be a social media troll, which is what you are, and you're going to buy one of the biggest social media platforms in the world just so you can say whatever you want, then have the guts to go in front of Congress. You know, if Zuckerberg can do it, you say what you will about Zuckerberg, and there's a lot of nice, not nice things you could say about Mark Zuckerberg, but dude showed up.
He did, and maybe his apology didn't sound, it didn't appease people, which I'm not sure how it could have, but the fact that he was even willing to turn around and face the families of victims who are, were subjugated to drug addiction or sex trafficking or sex crimes, any number of things, and to try to even confront that, it was a no-win situation, but well, he did it. He had the balls to do it, and that's commendable.
Yeah, I mean, Zuckerberg is 85% Android, so AI isn't that good that it's not going to sound completely sincere. You know, that's just biology. But again, I should say this again, allegedly 85% Android, and Elon Musk is allegedly a weenie. And I'm saying weenie. What I really want to say is another word that starts with P and ends with an E sound. But so there's that. I get that there's a lot of harm and a lot of bad that goes on social media. There's also a lot of good that goes on social media. There's only so much, and believe me, I'm not a, big companies are always right, rah-rah capitalism kind of guy. But there's only so much you can do to protect people from themselves. In the end, if you're talking about harm coming to children, I think if you're allowing the internet to be your child's nanny, you need to look in the mirror. Because you're the problem. You're the problem. You are responsible ultimately for what your child consumes and what your child is exposed to. So there's that. Yeah, there's other things. There's, yes, people are being influenced by, horrible people with bad motives into everything from drug addiction to sex trafficking to virulent racism to violence to you name it. Yeah, all of that's out there. And yes, is there some culpability to these companies? And should they have maybe some stronger guardrails? Absolutely. Absolutely. Has it been the wild, wild west out there? Yeah. And it's going to continue to be because there's only so much reining in you can do. These are international platforms. And even passing laws that apply throughout the U.S., there's still stuff that's going to slide through.
We'll see what happens past a couple of really good little clips to go on social media of these politicians shaming the leaders. But the lobbyist pockets are deep, and I don't know that there's going to be any systematic change, but we'll have to wait and see on all of that. So that's some kind of just world events that have been happening.
Yeah, but the bottom line for me is that there is a certain bar of personal responsibility that's got to be cleared here too.
Yeah, absolutely. And to expect that social media isn't just a microcosm of society at large. It's like if a crime's committed in a public square, do you hold the people who built the road responsible? I mean, I don't understand how you could expect these things not to exist in a certain space when they exist all over the world. And again, not justifying, not minimizing. I think it's terrible what a lot of those families had went through. But it is, to your point, it's like the individuals are kind of the family unit, all of those kind of things have to kind of keep the guardrails in place on their end in order for this to be effective on any sort of greater scale.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. is Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. Jeremy, that band right there is called Vision Video. They're from Athens, Georgia, and they're going to be among the many guests that are going to be here for Pensacon in just a few weeks, coming up February 23rd through 25th in downtown Pensacola, primarily at the Pensacola Bay Center. But they are going to be not just here as guests signing autographs, and like kind of the hook for them is like a celebrity is their lead singer, who is known on social media as Goth Dad. And he has like this huge following on, he's a goth guy. He's a little bit older, so he's like dad aged. But he's got a huge following on TikTok and YouTube as Goth Dad. But he's also in this great band that plays this great music, kind of, you know, like this goth, you know, 80s influenced kind of stuff, like you just heard there. And we're going to get to hear the band twice during the con this year. First of all, they're going to be playing on the Saturday night of the con, February 24th, at the Handlebar for the big after party Saturday night. That's also going to feature the Rocky Horror Picture Show with a live cast. Our buddy Nick Flagstar and his band, Nick Flagstar and the Dirty Mangy Dogs, is going to play as well.
Love them.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. You do have to have a PensaCon pass to come to that. And I also advise getting there early because we get about 30,000 people at PensaCon, and the Handlebar holds about a very small, very, very small percentage of that. So if you do want to go to that party, make sure you get there early because it's going to be worthwhile. Also, that's an 18 and up party. But Vision Video does have a lot of younger fans too, and we want to make sure we take care of them. So they're also going to be performing out in Poseidon's Bay, which is the area out in front of the Pensacola Bay Center. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on. But they're going to be performing out in Poseidon's Bay as well during the course of the con. So everybody's going to get a chance to see Vision Video perform live. Great band. Highly recommended. They did play our after party last year and have seen them a couple times. They've also come and played at the Handlebar outside of Pensacon. They were here maybe 6-7 months ago at the Handlebar. So, you know, Athens isn't that far, so... But really great band, and one of the things that I'm excited to see at Pensacon this year for sure. But I thought we could, you know, kind of spend the rest of the show talking about Pensacon since it's such a big event in our area, and you and I are both intimately involved in it. So, you know, I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about what we do, maybe answer some frequently asked questions, and talk about some guests that we're excited about, that sort of thing. What do you say?
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
So, Jeremy, you are in particular majorly involved with an aspect of the con that maybe doesn't get as much attention as it should, and that's the Short Film Festival, which is sponsored this year by Papa's Pizza. Very happy to have them doing that. But talk a little bit about the film festival.
So this is something that I've been personally involved with for 10 years. I wasn't in attendance for the first year, and from what I've seen, as long as I've been along, it's just year after year, the movies that we showcase have just gotten better and better. So my role is I'm essentially the guy that runs the film festival on the front end at the convention itself. I typically host 90% of the screenings. However, worth mentioning that this is Steve Wise's baby. It was his idea to do it in the first place. He is the person who makes it all happen on the back end. So essentially what that means is he's the one going and connecting with filmmakers, receiving submissions, getting all of the communication between the convention and the filmmakers in place. He kind of curates a long list of screenings that are submitted, or movies that are submitted each and every year. And then myself, Julio, Derek Diamond, Wes Hubbard, and LaVon French, all people that are active in the community and with the convention as well, all of us then go through with a fine-tooth comb, and we watch every one of the movies. We decide which of them are going to screen, and that's a pretty in-depth process. You know, there are specific rules in place. Like, for example, the movies have to fit into a couple of different genres. They have to be under 20 minutes in length. And once we go through and we kind of procure the best of them, we go in and start deciding on the number of screenings that we're going to have, the schedule for the screenings themselves. We reach out to the filmmakers, find out if any of them are going to be in attendance so that we can take good care of them. And as we get closer and closer to the convention, Julio can attest to this, the work picks up. I'm exporting movies. I'm creating the screening blocks, the playlist of what movies are going to play. Got to go through and make sure all the audio levels are matched up. Got to make sure that if it's a foreign film, the subtitles are there. Got to make sure if it's in an all-ages screening that there's no profanity or violence slipping through the cracks, which, you know, it's happened a couple times over the last decade, but for the most part, we're really good about catching that kind of stuff. And then from the beginning of the convention, starting on Friday afternoon, all the way through the showcase screening on Sunday, we're just every 2 hours, give or take a little bit, every 2 hours, we're featuring a different screening of a different genre, sometimes featuring local filmmakers, sometimes featuring movies that come from as far away as you could possibly imagine. We get films submitted from Asia and European countries, and every once in a while we are fortunate enough to have those filmmakers in attendance. And then we also showcase films that are made here in the area. So it's cool to be able to showcase the work of filmmakers from the area when we can. We try to do that when it's possible and when it works out. And then also just showcase these really talented filmmakers and give them a platform to be able to show the hard work that they do, because I'm a huge fan of movies. Julio's a huge fan of movies. And I feel like it's important to be able to kind of elevate it, give it the reverence that it deserves. And year after year, I see familiar faces, people that come back each and every year for the film festival. And that's amazing. So, yeah, I love to evangelize about it. I love to tell as many people as possible. If you love movies and you are a fan of genre filmmaking, head over and check out a couple of the screenings. I know it's a busy weekend and there's a lot of things you could be doing, but it's a really good time. We make it fun. You get to vote if you are in attendance for what movies end up winning awards at the end of the weekend. So I love doing it. It's a lot of fun. And that's my primary involvement, is just kind of helping facilitate the film festival and then hosting it throughout the weekend.
Well, and I think, too, you know, as you said, there's a lot going on at Pensacon. A lot of it is spending time on your feet and moving around. If you need a break, this is a good place to take a break. You can sit down.
Absolutely.
And, I've actually seen the space where we're going to be doing the film festival this year, because it is moving to a new location. It's going to be inside the Youth Center at the First United Methodist Church on Wright Street. And the area where that is set up, it's going to be really cozy. So
it's got a cool loungy vibe. You're
yeah,
right.
There's yeah.
Leather couches if you get there early. It's going to be very relaxed in a chill environment.
So, yeah, you know, if you feel like you need a breather, you need to get away from it. You know, I'm not going to say that this won't be crowded, because lots of things will be crowded. So, you know, you've got to get there early for anything like you would for anything else. But, you know, if you want to just sit down and watch some great short films for a while and maybe kind of see, you know, the next generation of talent, that maybe we'll see some of these folks tackling some big budget Hollywood pictures in the future. I would say that there's definitely at least one filmmaker in this year's entrance that is, I think, ready for a feature. And
when Julio says that, you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised by the cast featured in this particular film. There are a lot of good ones, but when Julio says that, what I take from it is the production value already looks like it's something that could receive, get a cinematic release, or at least on a major streamer.
Well, and already attracting faces. Name actors to his film, too. I mean, you know,
yes.
Three pretty well-known actors, two of whom were guests at Pensacon last year.
Yeah, so, pretty awesome.
Yeah. And that's always fun, too. We've got a couple of films in there this year that have some past Pensacon guests in them. So that's fun too. I know our buddy Ming Chen is in one of the films that was selected this year. And Ming is usually here every year. We hate that he's not going to be able to be here with us this year, but, uh, But we'll have him back in the future for sure, because he's a good friend of the con and just a good friend to me personally as well. Then Eric Roberts is also in one of the films that was selected, who we had as a guest last year as well. So Eric Roberts is an interesting guy because he is this name actor who's, you know, actually past Oscar nominee, but he shows up in a lot of stuff. Like you, if you want to have Eric Roberts in your film, it's not that hard to make that happen. Like he
just ask.
dude wants to work. And if you're willing to pay his fee, dude will show up to be in your short film or your, you know, whatever. I'm surprised he's not a cameo guy. Maybe he is. I don't know. I haven't looked on Cameo in a while, but, yeah, dude likes to be in front of a camera.
Yeah, I respect the hell out of the effort. But speaking of effort, like, that is my contribution to this massive convention that's been going off just so well for the last, as I said, over 10 years. Julio, you are intimately involved with it. Tell the folks at home a little bit about what you do at the convention.
Well, I do a lot, and what I do is going to take more than the time we have left in this segment to talk about. So we'll continue this when we come back into the next segment, because there's definitely a lot there to talk about. And, you know, what I'm more interested in even than tooting my own horn is really kind of giving people some tips and tricks to really get the most enjoyment out of the con, which we'll do. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Julio Diaz, and we will be back in just a few moments. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. And we're kind of giving you a little bit of a preview of PensaCon coming up in downtown Pensacola just a few weeks from now, February 23rd through 25th. Very much looking forward to that. And Jeremy just got done telling us about what we can expect out of the PensaCon Short Film Festival presented by Papa's Pizza this year. And looking forward to that. And he kind of hit you up with wanting me to talk about what I do for PensaCon, which is a lot. I am part of the executive staff of PensaCon. So to simplify it as much as possible, because I don't think people are really that interested in what I do, but I am the director of marketing and guest services. Basically what that means is I handle everything to do with the media, everything to do with our communications to radio stations, television, magazines, newspapers, et cetera. Everything to do with, you know, liaisoning on coverage and advertising and letting people know that PensaCon exists, and, you know, things like the billboards that you may have seen around town and any kind of print ads and television ads and things like that, along with, you know, with the rest of the brain trust. I oversee that part of it. I also oversee taking care of all the celebrity guests when they're here. So when you are going to go get your autographs or going to get your photographs with our many celebrity guests, I'm kind of ultimately in charge of all of that. So, whether when you're dealing with the people that are helping you find them, that are managing the lines, that are taking the money for the celebrities. I'm the one that's managing those people. So
this is such an all-encompassing thing. And from, I mean, listening to you say that, that sounds to me like five different jobs and five different, like completely different mindsets that you have to be in for each of them. Would you say that one of the aspects of it is the most challenging versus one that might be the most fun for you? Is there a part that's just really freaking hard? And then is there one that you really love to do every year?
I mean, the thing I love is just to get to meet so many people, both in terms of not just in terms of our celebrity guests, although that's always great. I'm always excited to meet people that I've been a fan of for my whole life, you know, just like anybody else is. You know, all of us that run Pensacon are fans first. So just like you guys listening at home get excited about seeing your favorite actor, your favorite director, your favorite artist, your favorite writer, whatever, we do too. You know,
of course.
We get, and maybe we get to see a side of them that you don't necessarily get to see sometimes. And that's fun too. So that's part of it, but not just that, it's the meeting the fans and getting to share their excitement and getting to see the smiles on their faces and seeing how excited they are to meet, you know, their favorite celebrity that they've been so excited to meet. And I know we're going to have so many of those this year that, we've got a few people this year that people have just been asking for years and years, and so happy that we get to fulfill those desires, for lack of a better term. I know that sounds kind of weird to say it that way, but just to, you know, to be able to make those people happy. So that's always fun. There's not a particular nightmare, for lack of a better term. You know, it's just more dealing with things as they come. And
sure.
you know, the biggest issue for me is if we have an attendee who's not happy about something and trying to make sure that we can fix that for them. So that can be the biggest challenge. When I'm able to fix it, that's also one of the most rewarding things.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, to have somebody absolutely. That, you know, we love that people love Pensacon so much. We love that people kind of feel like they have a little bit of an ownership stake in it. And they should, you know, this is a community event. We want it to be for the community, and we want the community to feel like it's their event. So if there is a situation where they're disappointed, I want to make that better. You know, and there've been situations in the past, you know, somebody missed a photo opportunity and they were really upset about it. You know, I had one very nice young lady that was just devastated about missing a photo opportunity a couple of years ago, that so much that she was in tears. And I was glad that I was able to, you know, just kind of stop everything else around her, spend some time with her, take care of her, make sure she was going to be okay and get her taken care of and make things better. So, I mean, you know, that's ultimately what it comes down to. Like, as much as we, all of us that are on the executive board of the show do have defined roles, we are all ultimately responsible for everything. So just because I handle the celebrity area doesn't mean that if something goes wrong in Poseidon's Bay or on the vendor floor or something like that, and I happen to be nearby, that I'm not going to deal with it.
You'll be out there with your fire extinguisher if need be.
Exactly.
No matter where the fire is at, you are kind of playing an equal hand in making sure that the experience is good for everybody. And that's great. And I think, you know, one of the good things about talking about Pensacon leading up to the event, and listeners at home can probably appreciate this, it gives us an opportunity to maybe answer some of the questions that congoers may potentially have. You'd mentioned at the top of the show that maybe we can touch on answering some questions that folks at home may be having. So I was hoping maybe we could get into some of those.
Yeah, I would like to do that very much so. And you're welcome to throw any questions at me that you think that you've heard a lot, or that that maybe you think that a lot of people might have. That's just as easy as anything else. You know, one of the big ones, I think, one of the big misconceptions, is people always ask, because cosplay is such a visible element at Pensacon, and especially in the media coverage, because, you know, media is looking for something interesting for people to look at. That's how media works. So media isn't necessarily going out of their way to take pictures of fans that are in jeans and t-shirts.
Right.
And so people get this conception in their head I'd like to go to PenceCon, but I don't have a costume. You know, it's great if you want to cosplay. We absolutely celebrate that, and we welcome you, and we love it. We have a great big, we have two big costume contests during the events. We have our Saturday night adult costume contest, which is sponsored this year by Festival of Fears over in Fort Walton Beach, who we're very excited to have on board this year. You know, that is where you're going to see some of the best costumes out of the whole weekend. And then on Sunday, we have our children's costume contest sponsored by Papa's Pizza. And you get to see all kinds of adorable kids just showing off their costumes. And that's all a lot of fun. And yes, cosplay is always going to be a part of the convention. But I would say that less than half of the people that attend the con actually dress up in costume. And you can absolutely come out and have a great time without having to wear a costume. And for some people, that thing of having the costume, especially if you're an introvert, you feel like you're putting yourself on display. And you don't have to do that. You can just come in your street clothes, whatever you're comfortable in, and enjoy yourself and have a great time. Come out and check out panels, meet celebrities, buy stuff on the vendor floor, enjoy live entertainment, enjoy the film festival, and so many other things, gaming. And you don't have to get costumed up for that.
So, yeah, I think that's a really good place to start, because yeah. I've actually heard people say the same thing, and in which case I'll just kind of reply and say, like, if you are somebody who is looking for an excuse to do cosplay, it only is ever going to elevate the atmosphere. But if you're somebody that just wants to go and people watch and check out other people's crazy cosplay, it's great for that too. Like, I've been to several conventions over the years, as Julio has as well, and personally I've never cosplayed before, but I really enjoy that aspect of conventions.
Well, and I want to rewind a little bit to something I said in terms of, you know, maybe you don't want to put yourself on display or feel like you're putting yourself on display, but I would also say that I don't want you to feel like just because you are in a costume means that you are putting yourself on display. We have a rule at PenceCon. It's a rule at a lot of conventions, but we take it very seriously, and that is that cosplay is not consent. Just because you're in a costume does not mean that you are consenting to have photos taken of you, to experience any kind of advances or attention that you don't necessarily want. It is an absolute bedrock policy of PenceCon that just because you're in cosplay does not mean that you're consenting to anything, that you should feel like that nobody is going to take your picture without consenting, that nobody is going to do anything untoward without your consent. And if that ever happens, we want to know about it. And the person that is violating your consent is going to be thrown out of the convention. That is a non-negotiable rule. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is something that nobody has ever heard about and nobody's ever seen before. This is hell on earth. This is pure hell on earth. We'll be right back.
AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nautilus channel on YouTube. One more shot of Vision Video there, who are going to be performing at Pensacon coming up February 23rd through 25th in downtown Pensacola. And we've been kind of giving you a preview of what to expect from Pensacon. And we started getting into some frequently asked questions about the con. So, Jeremy, I wanted you to hit me with one that you've heard a lot, or maybe that you think people may be confused about.
Maybe I can help out and just give a couple of tips that would enhance my personal experience.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, as we all know, conventions are a massive organism with so many different moving parts, and sometimes those things are going to have to be kind of shifted around when it comes to schedules, and that goes for not just the guests that are attending the convention, but also the attendees that are going to be attending the convention. But what I would suggest is, Julio has mentioned, performances that are going on at other venues, that, things that are going to be happening in Poseidon's Bay where bands are going to be playing. I mentioned the film festival. There is a lot more to the convention than simply walking around the vendor floor, which we strongly encourage that you do. It's a great opportunity to meet artists and purchase some cool memorabilia, maybe even thumb through some comic books, all of these kind of things that are staples and stalwarts of Pensacon. But download the mobile app ahead of time. Maybe the week of the convention, download the mobile app, spend some time kind of setting up a schedule, understanding that things are subject to change. But plan out your weekend, come up with a nice structured thing so that you can get a little taste of all that the convention has to offer. Because in my experience, I've had friends that will show up, they'll walk the vendor floor, which is, the Pensacola Bay Center where all the vendors are set up. They'll walk around that and then they'll kind of not know what to do after that point. And that is just such a small portion of what Pensacon has to offer. So definitely download the app and take advantage of public transportation. They can kind of get you back and forth where you need to go in a pretty simple and regular intervals throughout the day. So with a little bit of planning, you can get so much more out of the convention. And hey, look, some people just want to go and walk around the vendor floor and be around the cosplayers and the costumes, and that is awesome as well. But if you want to check out panels where celebrities are talking about projects that they worked on, or you want to go see, a music performance, or you want to play some board games, there is so much going on that I really recommend getting a feel for it before you get there with the help of the Pensacon mobile app.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are in the process of updating the app for the 2024 con that will be up very soon. So you'll be able to find that for iPhone or for Android in your app stores. Jeremy mentioned public transportation. We do run our own public transportation system for Pensacon that will take you around to all of the various venues as well as some of our partner businesses. So you can actually just pick that. If you've got a Pensacon pass, whether it be a day pass or a weekend pass or a VIP pass, you can ride that trolley for free. There are stops at the Bay Center and at all venues. They will be clearly marked. So that is something you should definitely take advantage of to get around town during Pensacon weekend. We've mentioned Poseidon's Bay a few times, and that's a thing that, like, we're just kind of shorthanding, and maybe you don't know what that is. So Poseidon's Bay is actually the area in front of the Bay Center, that big parking lot right in the front of the Bay Center. We gate off about half of that parking lot. And when you're going into or out of the Bay Center, you're going to be going through that area, which is called Poseidon's Bay. And there's a lot to do out in that area. We do have an entertainment stage going on in that area throughout the weekend. You're going to see bands like Vision Video perform. You're going to see all kinds of different cultural performances, things like the Emerald Coast Honors Orchestra. That is where our children's costume contest takes place on Sunday. So there's a lot of entertainment happening on that stage there. That is also where our food trucks will be. So you can come out and enjoy the concession area, which is going to feature a lot of great things to eat and drink. There's also a bunch of community groups out there if you want to get to know about things like the Society for Creative Anachronism or about the lightsaber training group that we have here in Pensacola. Those groups are usually out there. A lot of our partners are out there. I know Monster Energy is going to be out there sampling Monster Energy drinks. So if you're thirsty, that might be something, or if you need a boost of energy, that might be something to look at. So lots to do out there. We do have gaming going on, sponsored by the Five Barrel Brewing Company in downtown Pensacola. So they're good. If you enjoy tabletop role-playing games, if you enjoy card games, board games, that's going to be going on all day and well into the night at the right place. There's also going to be after-hours gaming happening at the Five Barrel, and there is going to be a trolley stop right there at the Five Barrel, so you can enjoy that. I think people do sometimes get a little bit confused about where things are within the Bay Center, too, because the bulk of our celebrities are on the second floor. And if you've only ever gone to the Bay Center for some kind of event in the arena, be it a hockey game or a concert or something like that, you may hear second floor and you may think the mezzanine. And that's actually the third floor. Now, that is where we have our artist's alley, where you can meet our artists, our authors, and that sort of thing. There are also some celebrities in there in the Monster Energy Celebrity Zone on the east side in the concession area. But there is a second floor that you get to through the steps on the outside of the building, or if you have a disability issue, there is an elevator that's available to take you up to the second floor or the third floor. That's where the bulk of the celebrities are, and there are two sides to that. On the west side is the Body Armor Celebrity Zone. The east side is the Coca-Cola Celebrity Zone. Very thankful to Coca-Cola for being a longstanding sponsor of Pensacon. And that's where you're going to get to meet the majority of the celebrities that are here for Pensacon, get your autographs. A lot of them will do selfies at the table, that sort of thing. It does not cost anything to go and meet a celebrity, but now if you want to get an autograph or a photo, there is typically a charge for that. You handle that right there at the table with the guests and their agents and that sort of thing.
And they really do appreciate that. It's not a requirement, but it's definitely a thoughtful way of showing them that you appreciate their body of work and you appreciate them taking time out of their busy schedules to come and visit Pensacola.
Yeah, we do have, in addition to the app, there is a program. Make sure you check that out. There's all kinds of information on everything that's going on, bios on all the celebrities. In case you might see, you know, there's somebody there and you don't recognize the name, but if you read the bio, you realize, oh, hey, I remember them from this. You know, especially with voice actors, that can be a consideration. Maybe you don't know the name of the actor who voices your favorite character, but then when you see that, you know, oh my gosh, the voices of the Fairly Odd Parents are here. You know, you might be excited about that. And it's funny because I even somebody like me who considers himself pretty expert, you know, when you're reading those bios in the Pensacon program, I wrote all of those. So there's that.
Really?
But even in researching those, I come across things I didn't know. It's like, speaking of the Fairly Odd Parents, Darren Norris, who's the voice of Cosmo on the Fairly Odd Parents, I was putting together his bio and I was like, wait a minute, he's the dude that played Cliff McCormack on Veronica Mars? That's the freaking fairy from Fairly Odd Parents?
Right.
Mind blown. So, you will discover things like that, and you're going to find out that there may be people there that you would be excited about if you just took the time to find out to know what they do. You know, we're just scratching the surface, really, Jeremy. There's so much to do at the con. I would also say pace yourself. I would also say that there's plenty to do after hours to make sure you go visit our partner businesses that are doing theme parties. Go check out the Fish House and Atlas Oyster House, where they're going to be doing Harry Potter and Star Trek. Go to Perfect Plane and Perennial, where they're going to be Star Wars. Five Barrel has the gaming theme. We've got the Cabaret doing a Stranger Things theme this year. Play is doing a Mean Girls theme. Odd Colony is doing Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry, I almost misspoke. They're doing Lord of the Rings. O'Reilly's Irish Pub is doing House of the Dragon theme this year. So there's going to be all kinds of theme parties to go to after the night is through, to go get something to eat, get something to drink, and just enjoy the theming and the way that the community celebrates Pensacon. Also, the airport, the Pensacola International Airport, becomes the Pensacola Intergalactic Airport every year. And we really enjoy that. They really go all out. It makes everybody feel like when they come into town that they're already in Pensacon.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend, even if you don't have a flight in or out, just go out there and check out all the cool decorations and branding that they do to be a part of Pensacon And, you know, visit them in Poseidon's Bay as well. The airport will be set up in Poseidon's Bay, and they're going to have some cool Pensacon-themed giveaways. You know, like I said, there's just so much to do, and it really is what you make of it. But the biggest thing about conventions in general, and Pensacon in particular, is just enjoying the fellowship of being amongst people who nerd out like you do. And people who like the same things you do. And cons are about, you know, experiencing that fellowship and making friends. And I hope that when you come to Pensacon, you make some new friends and you really have a good time. That's it for now. We'll see you soon. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.